So let's go ahead and open up with our message this morning. Again, I'm going to read John 14, 16 through 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. So the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth, right? And then it goes on to say, whom the world cannot receive. Why not? Why not? Because why? They reject him or they ignore him. Okay? And then it says, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, talking about Christians, talking about those who hear the word, confess the word, stand on the word. It says, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And that's what Jesus said. I'm going to send you the Comforter to live and dwell in you. So where does he live and dwell in us? Well, he finds his home where? In our heart. So the Bible talks or gives reference over 100 times about the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Holy Spirit or the Spirit is mentioned more than the church, more than marriage, more than finances, more than our future. Why? Why? It's because God does not want a bunch of stressed out, worn out, done in, washed up children of God representing him here on this earth. So what's that saying? It's saying that we find our strength, we find our source, we find our wisdom, we find all the tools that we need that are supplied to us through the Holy Spirit. Now, I've mentioned before that we all have a spirit ourselves. Everyone has a spirit. And the reason for that is because when the Holy Spirit comes into us, we receive the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit ministers to our spirit or communicates with our spirit. Okay? But again, we have a choice. Are we going to ignore or reject that leading of the Holy Spirit? So my question to you this morning is this. Is the Holy Spirit God? Of course he is. Because we know that God has three parts. He's the Father, he's the Son, and he is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, and he is a spirit. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us and through us. Okay? Again, if we don't ignore him or we don't reject him, what's he do? He works through us. The Holy Spirit hears, speaks, teaches, and guides us into what? This, the truth. This is the truth, and that's what he leads us to. Okay? The Holy Spirit glorifies Christ. He reveals Christ in us. He brings Christ's word to our remembrance. How many times have we talked about, and I've given you examples where I'll forget something, or I'll say, I came in here for something. Holy Spirit, remind me what it is. And a lot, you know, probably 90-some percent of the time, he'll reveal it to me. It might not be at that particular second, but, you know, give me a minute, or, you know, and he'll bring it to me. I just have to what? I have to be obedient, stop, and listen. Don't ignore it and say, I'll go ahead and do this, he'll bring it. No, you stop and you wait and you listen, because you're showing obedience and respect and reverence. You're not ignoring, okay? When you ignore the Holy Spirit, what you're doing is you're grieving the Holy Spirit, okay? So the Holy Spirit shows us things to come, knows the deep things of God, searches all things and reveals all things to us. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, we've read that, there is liberty. Okay? The Holy Spirit inspired the writers of the Bible. The Holy Spirit convicts us. Okay? He revealed the Son unto us. He's we are convicted by him. We are born again by him. And we are led by him. And we are filled by him. And then we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. So I want to share a couple of stories. Cheryl gave one last week, and I'm going to have her kind of briefly go through it again. But I'm going to share the prompting, the experience that a pastor had because he was obedient to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The story goes like this. On Friday, my day of rest as a pastor, the Holy Spirit prompted me to call a young woman, a young single mother, in our faith community to see if her car had been repaired. I had some reservations. In other words, you know, he's like, I really don't have time right now. Or this is my day off. He says, I had some reservations about making that call, but I obeyed. I was obedient. I didn't ignore it. Little did I know that my obedience would have saved her life, because she said later, Friday at work, I was planning on taking my life. But in a time of need, I believed God was there for me. He had Pastor Williams call me, and just by listening to his voice, it reassured me that God loved me. Just something as simple as that. So if the Holy Spirit brings someone to your, you know, to you, and you're like, you know, you're busy doing something, and all of a sudden, this person's face kind of comes to your spiritual vision, or, you know, you think of this person, you need to say, Lord, I don't know why you brought this person to my attention, but Lord, whatever it is that they need right now, I speak your favor and your blessings right now. I speak safety. I speak whatever it is that that individual needs right now. I speak it in Jesus' name. Something as simple as that only took, what, 15 seconds? When we do that, there's going to be a time when we go for eternity, and you might hear a story just like the one I shared with you. We might not hear about it while we're here on earth, but there might be a time that we'll hear that in eternity. It says in Acts chapter 16, verse 11 to 15, it says the Apostle Paul must have had the same reservations when the Holy Spirit prompted him and his team not to go to the province of Asia and Bithynia, I can't pronounce it. Instead, they felt the Spirit call them to Macedonia to preach the good news. So their first impression was they wanted to go to Bithynia, that's how you pronounce it, Bithynia, and Asia. That's where they wanted to go. But the Holy Spirit prompted him not to go there and instead go where? To Macedonia. And because they did that and they were obedient to that prompting, it says Paul and his team were instrumental in giving birth to new faith community in Philippi. A new church, in other words, was started there, because when we go our own way, yeah, God's with us, and he's going to protect us. But sometimes when we go our own way and do our own thing the way we want to do it, maybe the blessing of God isn't as strong. Maybe the blessing of God isn't on that particular thing that you want to do. Or if your heart is not right in, you know, I'm doing it for this reason, and it's not a godly reason, but it still looks good. It still looks good on the outside. But is it a God kind of thing, or is it something that you want? Well, you know, if God's in on it, what's going to happen? You're going to see favor, and you're going to see God's blessings. You're going to see God's power. You're going to see all of the things that God will supply you when you apply and do it, because God has sent you to do that. So, in other words, if they would have went to Asia, if Paul and his group would have went to Asia, yeah, they would have probably accomplished some things. But would it have been as strong of a success as it would have been because he went to Philippi instead? So, when we obey the Holy Spirit, we might be used of God in such a way that we'll never, ever realize. Now, Cheryl, would you like to share a little bit of the fact that when you were on this bike, what happened?
Well, number one, I just went up Schiller Hill, the kids and I called it when they were little, because once you get up First Street, you're so winded because it's so uphill. And but on the way down, you just coast. So I was coasting on my tricycle. I have a tricycle, and I was going, what I say is the speed of light. And I was, in my head, I was going to go as far down as I could go towards the railroad tracks. So I left the ride back to get a little more exercise. I got to the corner of Gino Stewart's house, which is a block and a half from our house. And Gino had just passed. I had this urge that I had to turn and pray for Gino's family. So I'm like, okay. So I turned, and right after I turned, I'm still kind of coasting. My back right tire is going like this. And mean, my bike just flipped because it's very heavy in the down. I had no helmet on. I was going relatively fast. I don't know what would happen. And it took me years of praying and reading the Bible for me to really realize that the Holy Spirit was talking to me. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just get that urge. You need to pray for someone. You need to do this for someone. And so I'm very grateful that the Holy Spirit nudged me to stop and pray for Gino, which I prayed for him and his family. And if I wouldn't have done that, I don't know what would have happened.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so thank you, Cheryl. So what does it mean to be led by the Holy Spirit? This means what? A prompting by the Holy Spirit, or instructed by the Holy Spirit, or directed by the Holy Spirit. It says in Matthew, it gives an explanation of Jesus being led by the Spirit. It says in Matthew 4:1, it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, you know, I've read that scripture so many, many times. And the only thing I picked up out of that until I started studying this a little bit more was the fact that Jesus was sent into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That's all I picked out of that scripture. How many of you can say the same? We all know that when we read that scripture, it's talking about Jesus was told to go into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But think about it. Jesus was led by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. So therefore, he's going to follow through because he knows that if he's going and the Holy Spirit's with him on this, the Holy Spirit has instructed him to do this, prompted him, instructed him, directed him to do this, that guess what? God's favor, the Heavenly Father, is in it. He's in it. He's involved in it when he goes to confront the devil. Or when the devil confronts him, he knows that he's not going on his own power. He's going on the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, again, on this occasion, Jesus was prompted and directed by the Holy Spirit to go into the wilderness. So, reading that scripture makes us realize, you're not in this alone. He was not in this alone. But I love the next thing that I realized as I was studying this. This was a normal part of Jesus' life. This was normal for him to stop and listen and wait and hear the Holy Spirit direct him. It was normal for Jesus. It was normal for him. But guess what? I love it. It was a demonstration. What Jesus did was a demonstration to us and how we can do it. Isn't that awesome? That Jesus, I mean, something as simple as what was written in that scripture. It wasn't simple for him to go to confront, you know, be confronted by the devil. But knowing that this was a demonstration to teach us to learn how to be prompted, learn how to be directed, learn how to be instructed by the Holy Spirit. He was teaching us when he did that. I mean, a lot more was accomplished. But he was teaching us at the same time. So there are two reasons why being led by the Holy Spirit is so important. One is it defines who you are. Who you are. It says in Mark 8:14, it says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So being led by the Spirit identifies that we are what? That we are a child of God, and it sets us apart from the world. Remember what it says? What that scripture says in the very beginning? It says, the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. Okay? So it sets us apart from the world. Okay? And then number two, it identifies not only who you are, but whose you are in Christ Jesus. It says in Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So again, as I said, we have a spirit. The Holy Spirit communicates with our spirit. And then we have to decide, are we going to ignore it? Or are we going to be prompted by it, instructed by it, led by it? Okay? So the Spirit does not only define who you are, but whose you are. The presence of the Holy Spirit in your life comes into agreement with your spirit, like what I just said, allowing you to know that you belong to God. And this is why we can find confidence in knowing when we realize the Holy Spirit dwells within us, that we belong to God and that we have a relationship with God. A lot of times Satan's going to come and say, "You're not. You think you're a part of the family of God? Look at the choice you just made. No Christian would make that kind of choice. You blew it. God can't possibly love somebody who slipped or, you know, went back to the old ways or their old life or whatever. God is a forgiving God. He's a forgiving God. And that something, all you have to do is repent. God makes it so easy. All we have to do is repent. So, what are the benefits of being led by the Holy Spirit? Well, first off, number one, he frees us from the curse of the law. It says in Galatians 5:18, "But if you were led by the Holy Spirit, you are not under the law." So as Christians, there are two ways that we can attempt to live a Christian life. We can do it in our strength, or we can do it in God's strength. So if we do it under our strength, we know eventually what's going to happen. We are going to fall, because pride comes before a fall. Number two, he helps us make better decisions. We know, in reality, day after day, we have life choices to make, decisions to make. That as Christians, we lean on the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. We know that we can take steps ourselves, but we want to be certain. And we can guess all we want, but if we find and be led by the Holy Spirit, we can find that peace, and then we can step out. Again, it talks about it in Acts, for example, when Paul was led by the Holy Spirit to go to Macedonia instead of, and ended up being successful in Philippi. So in number three, it talks about the Holy Spirit will keep you from falling into sin. Galatians 5:16. "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." So if we did it in our strength, those temptations are so strong sometimes that it's so hard in our own strength to overcome. But if we lean on the Holy Spirit, we can find that strength. We receive that power to overcome temptation. And it keeps us from that stepping over that line into sin. So how can we know the Holy Spirit is leading us? Well, I've said it before. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. A gentleman, a human gentleman would open the door for a young lady and very patiently wait till they go through the door. Now, that's the way the Holy Spirit is. He's a gentleman. He's patient. But he's firm. He's not aggressive, but he's firm. Here are some examples of how we can be sensitive to the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. If we're watching something on TV, and there's something on the inside of us saying, "Well, maybe when you turned that on there, you didn't think it was going to go this route with this story, but here it is. Are you going to continue watching that when you shouldn't really be watching that?" And that's happened to me a number of times, where I'll be watching something and I'll think, "I didn't think it was going to go that direction, so I would find something else." How about conversations? Same is true with that. You get around certain people and they'll start talking about maybe an individual and being negative about that individual, or maybe they're talking about things that are very suggestive that you don't feel comfortable with, very inappropriate. What are we to do? You excuse yourself and say, you say to yourself, "Hey, I didn't know this conversation was going to go this way or this direction. Excuse me, but I've got to go. Gee, it's time for me to go." Or it could be the opposite. As Cheryl did, the Holy Spirit prompted her to pray for this family. And because of that, it not only helped this family because you prayed for them, but it helped you as well, didn't it? It kept you safe. Or praying again for individuals. So I want to share one real short one. And I think I shared it before, but I think it was very appropriate for this particular message. My husband and I, when we were in Oklahoma at Bible school, He had worked afternoons, and we went to school during the day, and I worked afternoons till like 7 o'clock or something. He worked till almost midnight. So, of course, that night, every night, I'd wait till he came home. It was a good 45-minute drive for him every night. So, and it was in the woods. It was, deer and whatever else was out there. So, of course, and you wait up for him. So I was watching TBN, actually, and was waiting for him to come home. And I'm laying on the floor, and I'm just about ready to get up and get ready for bed. And I was going to roll over, and as I went to, I was going to just do that to get up. And the Holy Spirit said to me, stop. Just stop. And that's all I got was stop. And I looked to the left of me, and I looked at the right. And there was a tarantula, not a tarantula, but a scorpion coming towards me on the carpet. If I had rolled over, I would have rolled over on top of it. Chances are I would have got bit. But that was, and of course, you know, I got a shoe and I killed it. But, you know, that's what I'm saying, is we have to be sensitive to that leading and guiding. It's not a, he doesn't wait till it's convenient for you to interrupt you or to tell you something. He doesn't do it, yeah. He might not be a gentleman in that way, but why is he doing it? Because he loves us. Because he dwells in our heart. And he wants us to be saved. But know this. If you start being obedient to those promptings, to those instructions, when you start doing that, he's going to get called, you're going to get called on again and again and again and again. Because you're sensitive now to what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. And the more you are faithful to do that, the more you're going to get called on. So just know that it's not just a temporary thing. So number two, he leads us, his leading will always be in line with God's word. So knowing that the Holy Spirit, you know, sometimes we might, well, I'm not sure this is the leading of the Holy Spirit. Well, first off, we know that he is going to be in alignment with God's word. Number three, he will always glorify the name of Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with us when we're not sure. It's okay to get a confirmation through another individual or through the word. You can get confirmation when you're not really sure if this is the leading of the Holy Spirit. Even though we find ourselves being led by the Spirit of God, it does not mean that we should be running off at every impulse of the Spirit. I've met people like that, that where they've received the Holy Spirit, and they walk in the things of the Holy Spirit, but they go so far beyond it that that every time you see them, you know, it's just like the Holy Spirit told me this, the Holy Spirit told me that. You know, it can be too much. We have to be mature Christians and mature in that gift that we're given. Because when you do it every single time, is it to give you glory? Is this for you or is this for God? You know, are you doing this so that you can get glorified? So we might ask ourselves, if we're doing that too much, who's it for? So, we know that when we pray and we're grounded in God's word and we're connected in fellowship with each other, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and connected to God, these are the things that help us when we want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And it gives us the best position possible for us to be ready to receive whatever it is the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Amen? So with that, I want to close with prayer. Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Please fill us with your Spirit, and may we be filled to overflowing with your grace and with your joy and with your peace. And because of your presence within us, may your Spirit, its power, produce fruit within all of us, Lord, in our lives. May your Spirit allow us to live in victory over sin, that we may be overcomers in this life through faith as we trust and abide in you and as you abide in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.